Shalom Aleichem, this is Rabbi Kovacs, and Mishneh Yomi continues through Shas. Wow, it's already the fifth day of the new year of Tavshin Pei Hei. We are in Chapter 4 of Bava Metzia, Mishnayot 11 and 12 today, finishing out this perek. Mishneh Yud Aleph, Ein Me'arvin Peirut Be'perut. We don't mix produce with other produce, afilu chadashim bechadashim. Even new stuff with new stuff. And of course, not new stuff into old stuff. The idea being here, there's a farmer, halavai, we should all have farms in Eretz Yisrael and orchards, and this farmer is selling his produce to someone. He says, yeah, I'll give you the produce from that field. So if it's that field, he shouldn't mix in produce from other fields, even if it was planted and harvested about the same time. Now, certainly you shouldn't mix old with new, because the old stuff is better. The grains are drier, and it's easier to make them into flour and bake them into bread. So that would be misleading to mix some of the new stuff in with the old stuff. He thinks he's getting old stuff, and he's getting something that's not exactly as good. Be'emet, but in truth, biyayin, by wine, it's a little different. Biyayin hitiru la'arif kasha b'roch. By wine, they allowed mixing in some of the koshe, that means hard or strong, some of the more powerful, flavorful wine, berach, in the soft and the less flavorful wine, mipnei shehu mashbicha, because that actually improves the rach wine. We want the wine to have some flavor, have some body to it. You know, the wine connoisseurs have all these words for what makes a wine great. Baruch Hashem and Eretz Yisrael, they have made the wines there great again after the Romans destroyed the sector when they destroyed the temple. Baruch Hashem, in modern times, and Israel has some very, very good wines. So thank God, one of the things they used to do was the weaker wines, they would put in the stronger wines. It was an acceptable business practice. Everyone was doing it, but they wouldn't do vice versa. If someone wants a strong wine, you wouldn't mix in a weaker wine. The Mishnah adds, Ein ma'arvin shimre yayin b'yayin. We don't mix in the dregs back in the wine. As we mentioned, dregs are a normal part of the wine production process. There's always some grape-related schmutz in the bottom of the barrel. So we don't mix that back in if you're just selling him some of the barrel or a cup of wine. Avol noten lo et shemarav. But you, if he's selling him the barrel, you would include that residue, and you could have the residue from, you know, the schmutz, the shmarav from that wine, you could mix in with the wine as you're selling it, but certainly not sediment from a different barrel or a different batch. Mishnah adds, Mishnah arev mayim b'yeno. If someone has mixed wine with water. Now, it was normal to add water to wine. Their wines were very strong back then, so it was actually normal to do mizigah, to do a dilution to add water into the wine. Sometimes even three parts or four parts of water were added to the wine. It was so powerful, and it was still considered wine after that. But if you've already put water into your wine, lo yimkareinu b'chanut, don't sell it in the store. Elam ken hodiyu, unless you tell the customer, yes, this is pre-diluted, it's already mazug. There's an interesting story. It's a true story of Rav Avadia Yosef Zatzal, and he was once doing a wedding. He was Masada Kedushin. He went up under the chuppah, looked at the bottle of wine, and said, shehakol nia bedvaro, on the glass of wine, because he had learned that that particular company was mixing more water with their wine than is halachically acceptable. So he did that in public, and the company changed the recipe to make sure that even though they were adding some water, it was still Brei Priya Geffen, to all opinions. Anyway, the Mishnah goes on, V'lo l'tagar, do not sell diluted wine to a tagar, to a merchant. Awful picho idea, even though you told the merchant, because the merchant's going to resell this stuff to unsuspecting customers. She'eino elo l'ramot bo. He can play tricks with it. He can say, yeah, I got the wine from so-and-so, it's great wine, and so-and-so had already watered it down a bit, and the tagar is going to, claim he didn't know and actually sell wine at full price when it should be at diluted prices. Makam shenagu l'hatil mayim b'yayin yatilu. But a place where they always put water into the wine, you could add the water to the wine because everybody knows they're buying it diluted. Now, Bezrat Hashem will finish up the perek with Mishnah Yud Beit HaTagar, Notam Chamish Gronot. A merchant, you know, a reseller, a wholesaler, he can buy from five different granaries, Notam Natoch Migur Achat, and put them into one silo, into one bin, or Mechamish Gitot, from five wine presses, Notam Natoch Pitam Achat, and put them into one big vat. But as long as he's not intending to mix low-quality sources, suppliers, with high-quality suppliers and make people think it's all from the high-quality supplier. The idea is wholesalers always do this. They need to buy from a lot of sources to have enough product to resell, so everyone understands they're getting from various fields, various wine presses that might not be the exact same quality. But again, merchants cannot mislead the customers. It would be a form of onah if they put the good stuff on top and the not so good stuff underneath, and everyone thinks they're buying the best quality merchandise when it's really a mixture. The Mishnah goes on. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Lo yecholek echenvoni klayot vegozim letinokot." Storekeepers should not give out basically popcorn and nuts. This klayot is really like wheat kernels, grain kernels that have been sort of popped and parched in the oven, kind of like what we do with popcorn today. They used to actually throw this at weddings. Also, like some people throw popcorn. Though there really is halachic shailas if you should throw food at all because it's wasting food. Which reminds me, I think the Gemara there where they mentioned throwing grains mentions that the kids would go and pick up the grains and eat them because, again, they were like popcorn. They were a treat for the kids. So we don't give out treats for kids. Also interesting that they weren't giving out candy and sugar and corn syrup. They were giving out, you know, sweets, but it's not, it's not like the snacks we have today to spoil the children with. Thank God. You know, times have changed. Anyway, he says, don't give out treats for the kids, mipnei shehu margilon levo etzlo, because then the kids keep coming back to the store, they drag their parents there. It's basically sort of a way to manipulate the parents to shop at the store because the kids always get a treat. Of course, stores do that today. They put the toys and the treats and the gum right next to the checkout, you know, so the kids want to buy it. Anyway, that's this Mishnah. Chachamim matrim, but the other sages allow it. They say, you know, everyone can give out, one guy can give out nuts, the other can give out popcorn, one guy can give out chocolate or honey. He says, you know, every shop can have their own shtick, you know, their own prizes to encourage business. It's good for business. Let them do business in their own way and have their own promotions. Lo yifchot et hashar. A person should not purposefully lower his prices. This is Rabbi Yehuda again. Rabbi Yehuda is basically saying if one merchant lowers his price and all the other merchants have a higher price, then all the customers will go to him and the other guys are going to lose out on parnasa, lose out on business. Well, Chachamim Omrim, the other sages disagree. They say, Zochor Latov. It's a great thing if one merchant lowers his price because then you have price competition among the sellers, and it tends to benefit the consumers if the sellers are trying to outcompete each other to have lower overhead and lower prices. The Gemara does comment, we don't want to have one seller corner the market and drive everyone else out of business by having artificially low prices and then raise them after the competitors go out of business. We don't allow that. Now the Mishnah adds, lo yavor et grisin, do not sift the bean shells and waste off of the beans. Divrei Abba Shaul. According to Abba Shaul, now the idea is the beans always have, you know, shells and schmutz and dirt on them because they're beans. And if you clear it off, it really, you're not removing so much of the schmutz, maybe removing 5 or 10% of the schmutz, but then they would have a markup of 30, 40% because they're nice and clean and they look beautiful, so people would spend more on them. Chachamim Matrim, the Chachamim do allow them to clean off the beans and sell them for a higher price, and there's sometimes a convenience for the customer. Modim, but they do agree to Abashal, Shalo Yavar Me'al Pi Hamagura, that the shopkeeper shouldn't clean off the beans or really any produce that's at the top of the vat. She'eino ela kegonev et ha'ayin. It's as if he's stealing the eye of the customer. The customer sees this box of very clean, nice lentils or beans. It's beautiful. So he buys a whole bunch of it, and really only the ones on top were clean and the ones on the bottom are mixed with the schmutz. Finally, the Gemara adds, ein mefarkasin. We do not adorn. I think in modern Ivri that's literally put on makeup. Lo et adam, not people. For instance, if they're selling an Eved Kanani, they don't want to make him look more muscular or dye his hair to make him look younger than he is. Velo et behema, and not animals. We don't want to fatten them up with bran and water to make them look very puffy and full of meat. Velo et kalim. And also, kalim, we don't want to make them look like brand new if they're used. We don't want to do things that are misleading to the customer. Obviously, if an artisan puts in more work on a kli and it's more ornate, then obviously it's worth more money. But we don't want to do anything that tricks people into thinking that something is better than it is. That's, again, a form of onah. And with that, we close out chapter 4, Tizkulim Mitzvot, L'shana Tovah.